It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me this morning. I'm going to jump right to an issue that has been burning for a long time, but now is it's been simmering, and now it's beginning to burn. And the Today Show this past week brought international attention to the area called the quote-unquote Pebble Mine in Alaska, north of Lake Iliamna. And for those of you who've been listening to my show for many years, know that from time to time I have talked about this mining project to mine all kinds of hard materials in one of the most important ecological regions on Earth, and also one of the areas where nature still looks very much like it did for the last many, many thousands of years, where nothing really has been changed by the hand of man other than a few lodges for fishing and some seaplanes and native villages, which may not have dog sleds anymore, but they have snowmobiles. This is the real deal when it comes to the last great frontier. So this past week, the Today Show filmed what the potential devastation of the Pebble Mine could be. And it did a show talking about the economic benefits of the Pebble Mine against that of what could be the environmental impacts of the Pebble Mine. And as I watched this show, and because I've been involved in this for years, because of my love of Alaska and the outdoors, and I believe that conservation is the wise use of our natural resources, not the exploitation of our natural resources. Conservation being the wise use of our natural resources and the stewardship of our lands, I many times, for instance, the Keystone Pipeline, think we ought to build it. Pebble Mine, a disaster. I cannot state strongly enough for those of you listening and for those of you who might pass this on, whether it be in a podcast or in a conversation, the largest threat that we have to the wilderness we have left on this great continent of North America is in peril. Far from Anchorage, little town, on Lake Iliamna, Dillingham, is a place where you fly in a little plane and you go out and to see villages or you go out to fish. Otherwise, you wouldn't go there. Lake Iliamna, as big as Lake Erie, you can drink the water out of Lake Iliamna with unfiltered. There are so few places left on the earth where you can put a cup in the water and drink it. You can't do that up in Quetico. You can't do it in the Boundary Waterways. Nowhere I've been where you would do that and not risk getting jardy. You can do that in Lake Iliamna. I've done it. I put my toes in Lake Iliamna. I put my knees in Lake Iliamna. I've taken a quick bath in Lake Iliamna. I've fished in Lake Iliamna. I've canoed. I have traveled to native villages. I've been to Ekwok. I've been all through that part of the world. And I did it with my kids. And they saw firsthand the incredible beauty of Alaska. All three of my children have been to Alaska. I've had the great fortune to be in Bristol Bay and the Lake Iliamna region any number of times, not as a conservationist, but as an American who went up there to fish and enjoy the great outdoors. This show this morning is about preserving what is left of the greatest fishery in the world. The largest salmon runs in the world, all are at risk because a Canadian company, not even a U.S. company, a Canadian company, wants to go in and extract metals from the headwaters of the Nishkagak, Kwajiak, all these rivers that come on into Lake Iliamna. And during the television show, and I've met many of the people involved in this mine over the years, they talk about how it's safe. Nothing can possibly happen. It only is one of the world's most active seismic zones. So they're going to create tailing retaining ponds where the materials, arsenic, etc., are going to supposedly be sequestered forever. Well, And they said the chances of a tailing pond breaking are zero. There's no such thing as a zero chance of something not working that is man-made. We learned a long time ago in the firearms industry, when you first learn to shoot a gun, what's the first thing you learn in hunter education? A gun is a mechanical device that can fail. A huge tailing pond filled with acidic, arsenic, poisonous materials held together by an earthen dam that could be blown apart by an earthquake is a man-made dam that can fail. Even the Hoover Dam can fail. If this dam fails for the Pebble Mine, it will send poisonous waters down the Kuujjuaq, the Nisshkaguak, and the other rivers into Bristol Bay. Lake Iliamna will no longer, when you put your cup in the water at Lake Iliamna and you take a deep drink, as I've done several times, now you'll be drinking poison. What on earth are we thinking about to risk the largest salmon runs in the world? That's what happens in Bristol Bay. We had the largest salmon runs in the world in the Columbia Basin. They're gone. The last place in North America for the greatest wild fish runs, the last place on earth for the greatest wild fish runs, Bristol Bay. Russia has great wild salmon runs. Bristol Bay is the number one place. And we Americans own most of the land. It is mostly public land. Why? Who is even rationally thinking that we would risk destroying the largest salmon runs in the world for the sake of money from a mine, just one mine? And the head of the mine on the Today Show said, the head of the company doing the mine said, well, if we don't do this mining, someone else around the world will go mine these precious metals, and they'll just do it, and they won't have the environmental restrictions that we have. Let them do it. They're not doing it in Bristol Bay. For years, this project has been controversial. And why I'm bringing it up today is because not only has the Today Show shined a light on what's going on, but it is eerily working its way through the administration in Washington. It was the EPA basically killed this project 5 years ago, but somehow it has been resurrected through the former Secretary of the Interior and some other individuals. All I can say is that it went from dead to now being alive and being considered to be granted permits by, of course, that agency, which has done such a great job for the environment, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And as you know, I'm not saying that facetiously, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been a disaster when it's come to managing so many of our natural resources. And the generals and colonels at the Army Corps of Engineers may be coming in glued when they hear me say that, but I've been around the Army Corps of Engineers for almost 40 years. I've seen what they've done in the lower Mississippi. I've seen what happens in Vicksburg. Yes, the Army Corps of Engineers is great at moving transportation. It's great at moving water. It has a horrible environmental track record. And to think that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is going to be the agency at this time that issues a permit to decide the fate of Bristol Bay is in and of itself rather frightening. So we sit here in Chicago, wherever you may be listening today, whether it's Iowa or Ohio or wherever you are. Bristol Bay is thousands of miles away. Very few people have been there. Some of you listening may have been there. Probably most of you have only seen Alaska in books or on films. I can tell you firsthand that this is the greatest single fishery in the world. I've been there many times. I've been there in summer. I've been there in fall. I've been there in spring. Thankfully, I've not been there in winter. I've met with the villagers. I understand what's going on. One village, it appears, has sold out to the mine because they've been promised jobs that might be $100,000 a year. The rest of all the native country villagers are against this mine because they know it will destroy the life that they've had for thousands of years if something goes wrong. And when you sit in Lake Iliamna in a canoe, as I have, and you put that tin cup in the water and you drink it, it doesn't taste like Chicago chlorinated water. It doesn't taste like any water I've ever tasted anywhere in the world. It is as God made it, however long ago, it's coming straight out of the mountains, straight out of springs. It's as pure can be. Why would we risk all that? Why would we forever? And by the way, the salmon fishery in Bristol Bay is a multi-billion-dollar annual industry in and of itself. Why would we risk that for a few hundred jobs lining the pockets of a Canadian mining company, probably the pockets of a few lobbyists and politicians in Washington as well? Because this thing stinks. There's no way that this project goes forward if there isn't political influence being placed somewhere. Too much is at stake. I don't often say this. In fact, I'm thinking of over 20 years I've been on WGN. I don't think I've rarely felt as strongly as I feel about this. We are risking one of the last great places on Earth for a small material gain. And while Bristol Bay and Lake Iliamna may seem a place just thousands of miles from where you're listening to me this morning, it's a symbol of what's left in the Earth, what's the natural areas that are left. And if there's a cause celeb for the conservation community, not the environmental community, this is about conservation, this is about the wise use of our natural resources, and the millions, the tens of millions of salmon and the trout that live in the Bristol Bay region are our natural resources. They are sustainable. We have been sustaining them. They provide thousands of jobs. They provide hundreds of millions of dollars worth of revenue every year to the state of Alaska. That's a sustainable, renewable industry. It is the wise use of our natural resources. The Pebble Mine does not address any of the elements of what you would think is being wise use of our natural resources. So if you're listening today and you have a chance, tell someone that the worst project probably in the history of mining in North America is headed towards this administration's desk for a sign-off. It's the Pebble Mine. And whatever we do for our legacy, for our kids, and also for the enjoyment of ourselves, this is a mine that should not be built. So if you disagree with me, let me know. Otherwise, I hope that you are with me and so many others who are so engaged in trying to preserve this last great place that we have in Alaska. The Pebble Mine has to be stopped, and I'd be happy to take an opposing view in the coming weeks from someone who's willing to speak out for it. I spent years working on this with other people. It's time this came to an end, and for those of you who like to fish, it's time it came to an end, because you may never have a chance to see Bristol Bay again as it is. And for those of you who want to know there's a special place left in North America, it's Bristol Bay. Let's not ruin it. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. And when I do, I'm going to talk about what appears to be the first big storm of the year. You can say, well, we've already had some across the prairies. No, this is the one that sends the sandhill cranes and the birds and just everything begins to shift from the pace of fall to the quick arrival of winter. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America. 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Every game, it's all on the line. Personal, one-on-one, head-to-head. You have to look for every advantage. Strength, speed, and power to win.
Dan Hampton knows when you're looking for a tough competitor, Chevy Silverado has every advantage. Silverado's Ecotec 3 V8 gets better mileage than Ford's F-150 EcoBoost V6. You heard it here. Plus, Silverado's trailering package delivers 12,500 pounds of towing capacity that guarantees hauling muscle. More power, better performance. That's the kind of advantage that wins games. And there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy than you ever imagined for less money. Your Chevy dealer knows what it takes to be a winner.
Take it from number 99. Chevy Silverado is an all-star. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Kick off the season right. Go for it.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And you may not have in your computer or your daily reading the weather forecast for places like the Pas, Manitoba, Cranberry Portage, Cumberland House, Saskatchewan, or how about Rock Lake, North Dakota, or Portage La Prairie, or Waterhen, Manitoba. Those are places that I keep in my weather updates this time of the year, because those are the places which signal what's going to happen in the next coming days further south, and in this case in Illinois and points south. And the weather forecast from places like Rock Lake, a major staging area north of Devil's Lake in North Dakota, and up in the Pas, 500 miles north of Winnipeg, and over in the Cumberland House in Waterham, which is in central Manitoba, and Saskatoon. They're all saying winter's coming, and winter's coming fast. The temperatures are going to drop enormously over the next 3 to 4 days across what is the heart of the staging areas of the North American continent. And with that plummeting of temperatures is going to come skeins of geese and cranes and ducks and all kinds of songbirds, and everything is going to be on the wing. And here we are basically at the end of October, and it's right on time. For the many, many years that I've been doing this and following this, sometime around Halloween, you can absolutely go to the bank that there's going to be a major storm across the Great Northern Great Plains, and the fall migration in earnest is going to be on. Prior to Halloween, we get the what I'll call the fairweather birds, blue-winged teal and pintail and lots of songbirds. They take off and they leave the prairies because they want to get to their winter areas where it's nice and warm. But the real birds, if you will, they hang in until that storm around Halloween. Sometimes it's been as early as the 20th of October. Sometimes, some years, it hasn't come till the middle of November, but it always comes. This year, it's right on time, in my view, and you're going to see a large push of birds moving south down the Mississippi and Central Flyways in the coming days. It's probably already begun. The storm really began to push yesterday, but it's a 4 or 5 day event that's going to lock up a lot of the North Country for the winter. And in their case, summer's not long enough. And in our case, we herald the arrival, whether you're sitting in Arkansas and you haven't had an open season yet, or you're sitting on the Illinois River today with the opening of the season yesterday in the central zone and southern Illinois to come soon. This is what you wait for. You look northward, and the northward indication is the sky should be quite full of birds on the way, winging their way south. And whether you're a hunter or a bird watcher, now's the time to go out and watch. There is nothing like the magic of a migration. Go stand on the lake shore in Chicago. Well, actually, as I mentioned last week, the lake shore in Chicago is underwater. Any kind of wind and much of the walking trails and biking trails along over 10 miles of Chicago shoreline are underwater and closed. On a calm day, you still get your sneakers wet. But if you go to the shore, if you go to the lake shore and you look out, you'll see some of this. And if you go out to the Mississippi, you'll begin to see the rafting flocks of canvasback that take place in the Keokuk Pool and areas like that. It's just a great time of the year. The only problem is it doesn't last long enough. And each day, the days are getting shorter. And when I talk to you next week, we'll have already set the clock back. And we all know what that means. So anyway, it's a time to get outside this week. There's a lot on the move, and I hope that you have a chance to see it. Last thing I want to talk about before I sign off is this group, Hunter Nation. Go online and look it up. Mark DeYoung, a longtime friend of mine from Salt Lake City, who was the head of Vista Outdoors, is leading an effort to bring together disparate entities to try and keep the tradition of hunting and outdoor recreation in America alive. He's got a pretty unique approach. It's called Hunter Nation, and we'll talk more about that in the coming week. Next week, I'm going to spend a little time on what the government effectively calls the three R's. It has to do with the future of hunting and how we're going to recruit, and reactivate hunters. Isn't that a great government symbol? Three R's. Thanks for listening this morning. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.